Welcome to Good News Updates, where it's always a new day. We're joined this afternoon by Bob, who is here to speak with us about the Project Joy smartphone app. Welcome, Bob.
Hello, Jen.
Hey. So, I was just, we have been in high retreat season in the last several months, so I confess, I had not had a chance to even play with it until just the other day, and wow, it's very, very fun. And so we thought it might be fun to, we've mentioned it, I think it's been on the announcements and that sort of thing, but we thought it would be fun to talk a little bit about kind of how it came to be, what it, you know, the you stewarding the process of setting it up, talking a little bit about what it is, and then just maybe your own experience of using it.
Sure, sounds great. So the Project Joy app, which is available for both Apple and Android phones, it's based on the year-long retreat from last year, which was called Project Joy, which itself was based on Sherry's book, Transform Your Life.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way that the app and the retreat worked was that for each day, you open up the app and you see an inspirational quote, an assignment, and you have the opportunity to both listen to the recording that was made during the year-long retreat specifically for that assignment, and then also make your own recordings around the assignment.
And I will tell you, I actually had forgotten that piece of how the assignment, so when you go, when you open the app and the assignment, it comes, as far as I can tell, it comes right up to the day that you're on. So what, you know, it was whatever it was, September 1st or something. So it pops up to the September 1st day. And there's a record button and a play, and I just assumed, well, okay, that's going to play back what I record, but I haven't recorded anything yet. And I just incidentally hit on the play button, and there was Sherry and Ashwini's voice on the show. I thought, oh, that is so cool. So you can, yeah, as you say, you can listen to the show that went with that assignment from that day. It's just all right there on the particular day's assignment.
Yeah, it was a fun little thing to work out, like, because as you know, having participated in the retreat, if I'm, if my assignment for, you know, today, September 4, we would actually do the recording on September 5th for that, right, the show.
Oh, right,
so we had to
right.
backtrack. But, yeah, so for every, in the app itself, when you push that play button, it really is to play the radio show that was recorded for that assignment last year.
Oh, I did not even think of that. So it actually does correspond with the, with the assignment that the recording was, yeah, anyway,
exactly.
We all know what we mean. Yeah. And then, yes, that record button where, you know, from the assignment, you know, the insights you have from listening to the show, the insights you have, that you can make that your own recording right there.
Yeah, you can make your own recording. You can name the recording. You can save or delete the recording. And then there's like a, it's like this weird little symbol that has become to be known as share. So when you click on the menu icon in the upper left of the screen, you'll see a My Recordings selection, and then all the recordings you made will, or you've made will be there. And if you press on any of them, you'll be, you can play it. You can put it on the speakerphone for your phone. There's also this little share icon where it gives you all the different options for you to get it off of your phone. Which often is an issue for people. How I get all those recordings? I'm getting my phone off and save up some room on my phone. So you can do that as well. And then what happens is that whatever you name it on your phone is going to transfer to when you bring it over to your computer or however you listen to it.
Yeah. Very, very cool. So I wonder if you just, you might talk a little bit about kind of how that, that all came to be.
Yeah, I was looking at that today because it, it actually, for me, was pretty fun because I'm in a very fun position if I'm you know, working with, you know, everyone at the Zen Center. And I'm often asked like this to do something I don't know how to do, which is a great opportunity to go up against conditioning. because conditioning has lots to say about things that are new and I don't know how to do. And so,
can I just do one quick pause there, Bob? Because what I think is so fun about that is that I know from this end, you know, anything related to technology, it's like, oh, we'll give it to Bob. He'll be able to figure it out. I just love how that there's, it's like life believes in us and then we get to come up behind and find out that's actually true, right? So in your head, you're being told, well, I don't know how to do this. I mean, I don't. Meanwhile, everyone else is just absolutely convinced, of course, you know, of course I'll be able to do this.
and just, you know, how the practice supports people's own adequacy.
Exactly.
Right?
That's
so,
well,
I mean,
put.
You could probably name, 10, 20, 30,000 things that go on at the monastery over time, such as building a rammed earth building, which when the monastery decided to build it, there probably wasn't a lot of experience doing that yet. And yet there it stands today, 25 years later or something.
Yeah, because Sherry Huber, it would never occur to her that we can't do it. Of course we can do it. If people do it, we can do it. We're people.
Right,
yeah.
And then the practice supports people as they go about doing this thing that they're learning how to do.
Exactly.
And so, you know, even from
one
the inception, like, well, what I was going to say is that, like, so I think it was Ashwini. I said, well, why don't we turn the retreat into an app? And at that point, you know, a lot of things had to fall in place. One is that, you know, as Sherry and Ashwini often talk about, that, you know, the Sangha will support the things it wants to have in their life, right? And so we asked the Sangha, you know, well, we have this idea for this app. Would you support this? And then people generously gave us enough funding to actually make the app possible.
Yep.
And then everything else, like you got to find a designer, you got to find a developer.
Yeah.
And as we are, we don't just assume that everything is kind of is okay the way it is. So we had volunteers reviewing every assignment and every quote that was going to go into the app, you know, and then we had volunteers, you know, when we had the app pretty much done to actually test it out for us. And none of that was known or in place or had any idea how to do when we finally said, yeah, let's do it.
Hmm. Wow. I mean, it's just such a great example, isn't it? Of, you know, the other sort of new Zen story, if you will, that occurs to me is the one of buying the monastery. Where, you know, found the property, got together, you know, sort of the quote common wisdom would be, well, we can't buy this property. We don't have the money to buy this property. And even if we could scrape together the money for the down payment, we don't have the payment for the next month's mortgage. So that's crazy, right? And so that response, I think it's actually a famous response of that Sister Phil said is, well, how about we make the payments until we can't make the payments anymore? And so it's that sense of that Sherry has always had of, well, we'll do this if people want to do it. And so it's that same process of, okay, well, let's just keep taking these steps towards doing this. And if there's something about it that, you know, either the Sangha doesn't want it, so they won't give financially to support it, or there isn't a developer to do it, or there whatever, then we won't do it. But in the meantime, why would we assume we can't do it instead of just keep taking the steps? And then voila, 30 whatever years later, we still have a monastery, and now we have the Project Joy app. It's really the way everything happens.
Yeah, definitely.
Go ahead.
Well,
I was just going to ask you about your own experience of using it.
Well, I mean, I'm biased, of course. But, you know, it really is very easy. I think, you know, we intentionally tried to make it very easy to use. And I have to say that it is easy to use. And, you know, there's a joy I get in knowing that I'm recording using the app that comes from our practice and not in some random thing I've found somewhere. And, you know, the designer and the people who have kind of oversaw how it looks and feels, you know, it feels really nice to use it, you know,
it
and to be able to go back to that and have that as the place where, because I, you know, I'm happy to make all of my recordings in there. They don't have to just be about the Project Joy Retreat.
Oh, you just expanded a whole horizon for me. Wow, that's interesting. Because it really is. It's very, it's beautiful, and it's simple, and it's clear.
Yeah.
Wow, I just really, because one of the things that's been happening for me in my own practice is sort of all of it coming together. So, you know, I record and listen several times every day. You know, a while back we were talking about that hourly check-in. It now revolves around, you know, our HOW retreat that we're doing. It suddenly occurred to me not very long ago, oh, I could start my day by reading the peace quote that's come in overnight and the tweets that have come in overnight. So it's sort of all coming together in this one thing. And so when you just said, I can do all of my recording in that one app, I thought, oh, there we go. And then I could add that, the practice of listening to, you know, this last year, what were we doing in the Project Joy, and adding that into the, wow, it's really pretty complete.
Yeah, and I think someone mentioned when they first, maybe first announced somewhere, you know, that there are people who are doing this current year-long retreat, and now they've committed to do this retreat, Project Joy, on the app at the same time, and that's amazing, right? And then I also thought, you know, what a great thing to kind of support myself when I'm not in the middle of a year-long retreat as well. You know, mm-hmm. So we'll end this current year-long retreat in December, and then we'll start the other one sometime at the beginning of next year, and just keep doing this one, you know, and it just seems like just a great support for people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And I see our time is probably more than gone, but I did want to mention how people can get it.
Please.
To get the app. So in either the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, if you just search Project Joy, it should come up pretty usually the top one. And then you can also go to our website for recording and listening. So it's recordingandlistening.org. And then under the practice menu, there's a link to the Project Joy app as well.
Okay, great. And I did find it very easily by just going into the App Store and putting in Project Joy. So, yeah.
Great.
Bob, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
All right. Thank you, Jen.
All right. Take good care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you to start the show.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Bob. And good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my great pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you, Michael. Nice to be here.
Yeah, great to be here. And I really enjoyed that conversation, and especially the part of the process level of approaching the whole thing, and your story about buying the monastery. And what I got from it was, here's this thing that I'm drawn to, that I want to do, and rather than listening to a bunch of stories about how it's not going to work, I'll just take the next step and see what happens.
And, you know, I've been looking at that process so much for myself, Michael, and one of the things I've been seeing about it is it's a complete win, in the sense that I think, at least for me, I don't know if this happens for other people, but the conditioned conversation is around, if you give it everything you've got, you have to be, quote, successful. And what successful is you have to set out to accomplish the content thing that you set out to accomplish.
Right. Yeah.
And what I've been seeing is that's the way the voices are attempting to shut it down and to create fear. But what I realize is, no matter what happens, if I'm going 100%, then what I'm getting is really great practice at living my life wholeheartedly. Yeah. And that is a win no matter what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, you insulate yourself from the self-hate that would come in when the outcome doesn't look, quote, the way it's supposed to.
100%. Yep. 100%.
Yep.
Yep. And it insulates me from one of the pieces I've really been looking at is that quote, what everyone will think, which of course translates, the actual translation of that is what the voices tell me about myself. And then they throw that projection onto, quote, everyone else. But insulate is such a great word. It's the most exhilarating sense of freedom. Because if I get it that all I'm doing is practicing living here in the moment, calibrating as best I can to what life is asking of me right now, and giving everything I've got to it, and never looking back. I actually called into the morning radio show this morning, and this is a bit of what I was attempting to articulate, but never looking back at, oh, wait, should I have done that? Should I have said that? Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. Only be here, right? Because that's how it's trying to shut us back down.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah. So,
fabulous.
Anyway, we could go on and on.
Yes, I could. And instead, we have some announcements.
All right, great.
Step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up. The Your Practice Retreat, September 29 through October 6th, at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California, provides individualized support with what you choose as your practice for your stay. This retreat is a prerequisite for anyone considering being a first-time visiting monk.
And not that it's about the weather, but I will tell you that we are transitioning into that. I mean, the spring and the fall at the monastery, wow, it's absolutely heaven. And we're transitioning into that time where it's so beautifully warm during the day and so beautifully cool at night. I mean, it just does not get any better. So.
Wow, lovely. Sounds lovely.
Yeah.
Politics from Center, a new group coaching opportunity, will offer support in courageously and mindfully engaging in a political activity of your choosing in a way that challenges you to transcend fear and express deep caring in the world. The coaching session includes facilitated conference calls and email check-ins and starts September 21st.
Fabulous.
Yes. And mark your calendars to sign up for the next quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies for powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness. This program requires participants to show up to practice being present on a weekly basis. Registration opens this Saturday, September 1st, for the new quarter beginning in October.
Oh, that's great. I didn't realize that was opening up. That's nice.
Yes. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to speak with Jen today, you can press star 6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And a conversation that's about 5 minutes long and is focused on one topic would be great. Okay, Jen, you ready?
I am.
Okay, great. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? First caller is unmuting, I'm sure.
Hello.
I can hear it.
Hi, Dan. Hi, Michael.
Hey,
Rochelle.
Nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's been a little while since I've been able to get on. I've been trying. I have fallen asleep. A couple of times.
You haven't fallen asleep. You've been in that. You've been there. It's just the queues are long.
And it's just work is real busy and everything, and you know, I slow down and I almost fall asleep when I slow down, and so I've talked a little bit now.
Got it.
So I love y'all's talk about the app. It's wonderful, and I think it's beautifully done and so helpful.
Oh, good. So you've been using it.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it's very well done. I have been, I'm experiencing a good workshop in life. And this is the type of workshop that, you know, we practice for in order to prepare us to be ready for this type of thing. My mother was recently diagnosed with Alzheimer's, And
wow.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of noticed some memory problems and some language problems. And I live about an hour away from my parents. And my brother and my father, live in the same city. And, you know, mom and dad kind of have their little routine and everything. Mm-hmm. And I kept noticing this and saying, have you noticed this? And they're like, oh, just getting older, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, maybe that's it. But I just, you know, this is not, you know, what I expect. And so I started going to her doctor's appointments and to the neurologist, and it's Alzheimer's. She is. She knows exactly what Alzheimer's is and things.
Sure,
and to be
sure.
honest, I was there with her when she got the breast cancer diagnosis. But this diagnosis particularly hit really hard. Because it's not a lot you can do about it.
Not a lot you can do about it. And we all have so much information about what lies ahead. And so, gosh, I mean, as you say, Rochelle, that is a place where, you know, we're so lucky to have practiced, and how challenging to be someone who's facing that kind of that road, basically.
And she's, you know, smart woman and everything, a science teacher and, you know, a master and stuff, so she knows what Alzheimer's is. May have trouble telling you exactly what she has, but she knows, you know, what the process and what it means. And so quite devastating. I had hoped that it was just a medication effect, and if we took her off some medicines that, you know, it would clear up. But of course,
hey Rochelle.
Yes.
Your voice is a little soft to me. I don't know if you could speak up a little bit or if it's the phone
sir,
line.
Yes, sir. I can.
Thank you.
And so, in looking at this, there's not a lot to do other than being prepared as things progress. But my. What I would like to be as present as possible to wherever she is, whenever she is.
Absolutely.
And to make the environment safe for her, type of thing. And really trying to engage my brother and my father. And I think there's just some denial there, type of thing. And it's funny, I feel like I keep trying to tell them, Mom's house is on fire.
Right.
You need to be prepared because the house is burning down.
Yeah.
Like,
wow, that is a bone-chilling image. Yeah. It's kind of like the Buddha's image. Right?
Exactly. It's like, children, you know, come out the house, it's burning.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, Mom's house is burning. And this is really bad. And and they're kind of like, oh, no, it's just a little warm. It'll be okay. You know, this is normal. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my gosh. And so also a practice point of, they are adequate to whatever they experience and choose their route for this. And I don't want to get into a position where I'm where we're antagonistic about it. You know, I don't need to do anything or convince them of anything. The process of the disease will do its thing.
Exactly.
You know, and so I don't want to get caught in that trap of us not agreeing about what she needs for care and how serious this is, when it'll eventually be apparent to everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Gosh, and as you're talking, Rochelle, I just, Everything you're saying is so underlines your first point, which is I'm in a situation that's one of those places that we practice for.
Exactly.
And I don't know if you've ever heard Sherry use that image. I've seen her do it in person on retreat, which is the best because so she'll talk about, you know, someone is going through something really hard, a loved one, you know, whether it's an illness or a depression or that sort of thing. And it's just that like, oh, so hard for me. And kind of that image will she use of like, so there's the person, you know, lying in bed, whoever's actually sick. And then I sort of say as the family member, oh, move over. I've got to lie down. This is so, can I take that thermometer from your mouth and put it, you know, because basically this is so hard for me. And what you're describing is that what your years and years of dedicated practice are making available to you is you don't have to do that. What's possible is that you're going to be doing your own practice, like your hair's on fire, I project. And what that makes possible is that you're able to be there for everyone else just simply as a presence, not as Rochelle, not as another opinion, not as the way I think we should do it, not as, but just as a presence.
Yes, yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes. And that's what I'm working toward, type of thing, just being present and present for everybody and being very mindful of my own practice and very mindful, oh my gosh, the stories conditioning just drums up and all kinds of projections in the future and all this kind of stuff. And I have to stop and take a deep breath and say, you know, that's not happening right now at this present moment.
That's right.
When
that's
it
right.
does, I'll deal with
that's
it.
Right.
But it
that's
does
right.
no good to spin all of these horror stories about what's going to happen. And it's tried. It's actually kind of funny. I feel like I'm playing catch and release. You know, it comes up with a scenario or some fear or some, you know, stuff and trying to stir up trouble, and I'm like, okay, drop that because that's not what's happening right now.
Exactly. So. Ooh, that's a good image. You know, that image of it's fishing and it's trying to hook you. It's trying this one. Now it's trying this one. Now it's trying this one. And you're just diligently practice. Nope, I'm not doing that. Nope, I'm not taking that bait. Nope, I'm staying right here. And, you know, the thing that's so hard with things like this is that it brings up, you know, it tells stories that are plausible. Right? Blah, blah, blah. This is going to happen. I mean, you know it's going to happen. It's like, well, maybe it is. And when it happens, because this is so our experience, isn't it? When something happens, what there is to support us in it comes with the thing that happens.
Yes, yes.
But when we're anticipating the thing in the future, the action to take or the present moment response can't arise with it because we aren't in that moment. So that's why the future projections, all they do is torture us.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I'm just like, I refuse to let you torture me. Bad
exactly.
enough, my mom has Alzheimer's. I'm not going to let conditioning get a hold of me and, you know, really,
Amen.
You know, make that
Amen.
Thing. And it also comes up with, like, these stories of guilt. Oh, you should have done something different. You should have. And I'm like, what in the world differently can you do about this? It's almost like, really, this is a conditioning lie because there's nothing that
nothing.
You can do to prevent this or do differently.
Nothing.
And so
right.
it's just, you know, forever process. And I suspect, and we talked about this before, about, you know, conditioning is kind of an energy management system. And so I think one of the reasons I've been so fatigued in addition to working really hard and driving back and forth to home a lot more is that energy of dropping its stories, you know, and kind of being on guard.
Yeah.
Okay, there's another story. Let me drop it, type of thing, and just really not letting it get a foothold in there, type of thing.
Yep. And it sounds like seeing with all of it that it's such an important time to take really good care of Rochelle.
And now, particularly now in the present moment, because you know, the future, I may have less time to take care of me because I'll be taking care of her. And so this is not the time to get into future projections and let conditioning exhaust me before, you know.
Exactly.
There's a need.
Exactly.
Type of thing. And so just being really reasonable about it.
And I would imagine, you know, recordings, letting Rochelle have whatever experience she has, you know, one day it's all right and the next day it doesn't feel all right, or, you know, all of that. Getting to process that with the recorder. And I even think of just, you know, in situations where, you know, there's just something huge going on, I often will go back to my, all right, well, let's make sure she's always got a full water bottle next to her. And let's make sure she's plenty warm or she's plenty cool, or, you know, just the very basic things of really, really caring for that human being who's going through a hard thing.
Well, the recorder I keep near me, and I practically rubbed off the little writings on the buttons. I think this recorder is going to join the recording graveyard, and I'll have to invest in another one. But yeah, it's been close by, and I've been practicing. I have not called in, and sometimes when I am called in, I fall asleep. I'm still here, and I'm still plugging along at it. And so, thank you very much. And
And thank you, Rochelle, for the generosity of bringing us in on it, because I just, to me, there's so much richness in that as a Sangha, that this is life. We go through all of it, and that people have the courage and the generosity to call in and work through and share with us how they're using practice through these times. It's invaluable. So, deep gosho for that.
Oh, yeah. And I'll put in a plug for Reflective Listening Buddies.
I've
been doing it for
years.
And it has got me through some rough times. And that space of safety to say and hear it said back to you so you can hear yourself, particularly during the hard times, is so valuable. And so it has been such a wonderful thing. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you,
Michael.
That.
Thanks, Jen.
All right. You're welcome. Take good care, Rochelle. Stay in touch.
I will.
As I know you will. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rochelle. Great conversation, Jen. And I wanted to echo what you said at the end there about the generosity of Rochelle and each of us sharing our stories and what's going on. It gives us ideas and tips and morale and support. It's wonderful.
Yep. We always say it, but it's such an underlining of, right, you know, we're not alone. We truly are all going through all of it, and, you know, we're here together. Yep.
Yes, and the other thing I wanted to mention was you talked about the solution arising in the moment with whatever challenge appears, rather than trying to think about what the solution is going to be in advance. And I just thought that was genius to develop that trust, to know that, when a challenge arises, that's when I'm going to be able to see the opportunities to help myself through it.
It's really the conversation we were talking about after Good News, isn't it? It's really exactly the same process. Because when I start to think about, so I'm going to, like, buy the monastery property, right? Well, but I mean, there's no way we're going to, right? And the voice says, well, you have to think about that because now you have a mortgage. But as you say, to build that trust of, well, guess what? I don't know. And I'm not going to know until we're in at that moment. And, you know, and this is the thing that practice teaches us, and Sherry Huber is such a master. And if we get to that point and we don't have that, then, then we won't do it.
Right.
So it's what you were saying about being insulated, and then that's fine. That doesn't mean anything.
Yes, exactly. And we have another caller here.
All right, very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta.
Hi, Greta.
Hey, Greta.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing okay, thanks. I appreciate the last things that you were saying, and yet I still have this question that I've been looking at, because this process has been going on for a really long time, and I can just tell you what I can. So what happens is, and this is the second person it's happened with. So someone that I consider a close friend, then there's an internal conversation that is completely designed to promote separation. So it's about what's wrong with that person and why, you know, they're not a good friend, and just, oh, they're, you know, they do this and that with those people, but they don't do it with you. And so it's kind of like a high school age sort of conversation. And I've, you know, I know the answer is really, well, let me say, I know sort of one answer is that this is pushing me to separation, and what really the situation calls for is love, and yet it's a process that just does not want to stop. And so I'm kind of perplexed about it. I've recorded about it. And yet here it is, that something, I don't know why, unless, you know, it's just this high school thing, but this is the second person who it's kind of getting in there to say, you know, you can't have a good friend, or you shouldn't, or they're not, or whatever, or you don't deserve it. I'm not sure.
So let's see. Are you saying, there's so many things about it. Is it a sense, Greta, of, okay, so this is happening with the second person, and is there a sense of either this shouldn't be happening, or I need to see through this so that it will stop happening?
I would say yes, just because it feels so wrong. Like, why do I want to have this? Why would I want to have any animosity towards a person that, you know, I enjoy spending time with and is a good person? And, like, it's not real. I guess that's what I'm saying. It's just, it's a waste of energy to have this thing going on.
Yes. And so if I'm tracking what you're saying, it sounds like maybe this is one of those egos having a conversation with ego places.
Oh, sure. Yes.
In the sense of, right? Because, okay, the reason I asked you those first two questions is, so if what we're doing is practicing awareness, and we're looking at what are the various processes for each of us that cause us to suffer, which is another way of saying, what conversations do I get stuck in? And, you know, what are all the things that happen for me internally? So it sounds like from what you're describing, this thing that happens, this is at least the second person it's clearly happened with, really highlights a process that happens for you and creates suffering. Right? So it's interesting, and to some extent it sounds like you're relatively clear that, I mean, some of your language at least indicates that you realize, okay, this is the voices. You know, you said it's trying to create separation.
Right. And kind of going back to your question, I do feel like I wonder if there's something really real here to see through so it would stop, in the sense of what is this innate of, you know? Is it just here for me to suffer over? Or is there something that, like, I'm missing about it?
Gotcha. And so have you done things like a two-handed recording around it?
Yeah, I have a lot. And I, for whatever reason, it's just, you know, there's sort of a blank wall there. And the only answer I came up with was really to put more love into the situation for me and for them and, you know, for the whole thing, because there's nothing there in the conversation.
And what happens when more love goes into it for you and the other person?
Well, that's a very good question. Because on one hand, it's like that's the right person thing to do to put more love into the situation. But if I actually do it, or if I'm with the person, then that's not really going on. It's when I'm not with them, or, you know, some other story gets started.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds to me like you're in the Olympic level karma busting program.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of wondered about that. So that seems like the only thing.
I mean, I'm just sort of plugging in my own content slash process as we're talking. And, I mean, what I see in situations like that is there's, without even realizing it, there's kind of this finger tapping that's happening, which I suspect is just conditioning, ego, with like, okay, I'm putting love in the situation. Where's my reward? Which is, this is going to stop happening. I'm going to stop feeling this way. I'm going to now, I'm going to be unicorns and rainbows, and I won't have this judgment going on in my head and, you know, all of this stuff. And when that doesn't happen, then realizing, oh, okay, there's an expectation that if I practice with this in a certain way, then I'm going to get a certain result.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've been looking at in my own practice recently with things like this that have that kind of tenacious quality to them is, what if the only point here were, can I be all right with all of it? And can it really, because what really got my attention that I think is so amazing is that what you're describing is the only thing that, quote, works is if you truly go to a place of love. Not an idea of love, not a should, like we've been talking about on the morning radio show. I should go to a place of love with this. You know, you should go to a place of love with this. But completely out of the conversation and right to the experience. Now, the voices are going to absolutely hate that. And so, at least in my experience, they're going to do things like, well, that's not really an experience of love. Well, you're not really feeling it. Well, you're not blah, blah, you know, blah, 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 blah. But from what you're describing, in the times where you truly are in that place, it's not there. The karma's not in charge. It's not got the focus of attention. And what if these were those places where life is offering us, not letting us settle for anything but the real thing, if you will, and completely trusting in our adequacy to keep practicing with it?
Yeah, absolutely, Jen. You just hit it right out of the park, because I was going there right when you started saying that. So as you continued to talk, I totally agree with you, and I understand the veracity of what you're saying. Yes, it rings very true for me that's the point. You know, you can play at this other game over here, or you can do the work.
And the things that gives me goosebumps about it, Greta, again, that I've been seeing in my own practice, is it's only to a person who is so incredibly sincere and truly dedicated to the entire thing who will keep being given a gift like this. Because what I project onto you, and I project it onto me and to, you know, all of us in the Sangha, is we're in it for the whole thing, not for an idea of it, not for a should, not for a being the right person, not for being the kind of person who, but for true freedom. And if that's really the case, then life is going to get behind us 100% and give us exactly what we need in order to have that experience.
Right, right. So that makes complete sense that it would be so tenacious, because, you know, I want to look at it and say, well, that's just karma or that's conditioning. But if life is really orchestrating everything for our benefit, then that's what
exactly
we get to see. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's where the place where we can get to, oh, so this person really is my teacher. Not from like a Pollyanna, like everything's my teacher, you know, but really,
right.
Wow, this is my teacher. Wow.
Well, I had that suspicion since this was the second person. It's been going on for quite a while. There is something here. I'm just not getting it, but I appreciate very much your perspective. That's very helpful.
Well, thank you. That was a fun process to walk through it. Yeah.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Michael.
All right, Greta. Take good care.
You're welcome.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Greta. Jen, what dropped in as you and Greta were talking was this idea that conditioning is telling me, you can't stand this, you can't stand this, you can't stand this. And then the response is, well, let's see.
Exactly.
And the game is on.
Exactly.
And
you know what?
I realize, uh-huh. As I'm laughing, the power of levity in that situation.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and what I saw when you were saying that is, I can't stand this, I can't stand this. Of course, when we really look at it, it truly is. I mean, this is one of those things we always say, but then we have our own experience of it. That's the voices saying, I can't stand this. You have to stop looking here. You have to stop doing that.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Wow, that's huge. That is huge.
Yeah.
Jen, we're going to hear from our recording and listening program, and then we're going to come back.
All right. Perfect. Thanks, Michael.
Okay. You're welcome.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. Recording and listening is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation in conditioned mind, we can live in a conversation about what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Jen, we have another caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Carol from Washington.
Hey, Carol.
Hi. Let's see. I have been looking at distraction a lot lately, and and the way it's played out is like I haven't been in the queue on the morning show all week because it's like I'm too distracted to participate, so there's no way I could pull my mind back to, what we're talking about. So
in other words, you're listening to the show, but you're just not in the queue.
Yes, I'm not in the queue, right, and the voices are saying, I can't concentrate, so,
So you can't be because you might get unmuted and have no idea that you're right. What am I going to say? And I can't bring my mind back. And
So on this particular call, I muted my or I got in the queue and then I got out of the queue and now I'm back in the queue and now I'm on the air. So it's kind of funny. Yeah. So
What had you get back in the queue, Carol? Do you know?
What had me get back in the queue? Well, I really want to participate, and I don't want to get distracted. And I don't want to believe that thing that says I'm so distracted I can't be present.
Yep. There it is.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, so
I mean, it's just so good to see that, isn't it? That's what's actually so, you know, that's that place where we sometimes talk about, you know, so the voices say such and such about me, but what I know is actually true is that I want to be here. I want to be participating. Mm-hmm. I want to be present. I want to, because, you know, for most of us, when we go through times like you're describing, first of all, of course, it's the voices that are distracting us. And then they come in to accuse us of being distracted.
Right. Yeah. I was listening to what you were saying to another person who called in, something about, you know, like not fighting it or something, or just existing that I'm distracted or something. So
yes.
What I did the other day.
Go ahead. Uh-huh.
What I did the other day, you know, I was totally distracted, my mind bouncing from this to that, particularly about planning trips. And so I took a walk and I just recorded, I don't know, for 45 minutes or something, what my brain was doing or what ego was doing. And so it was so funny because I was able to laugh at it, you know, vacillating from this thing to that thing to that thing and just bouncing all over the place in a crazy manner. So I could just see the humor in that. And so that was a good way to work with it. And so I'm in the thing of it, you know, like it's back today. So, And I'm
the distraction is back today.
Yeah. And living in distraction. And so I've been trying to figure it out. And why? And then I remember, I don't know. And then when I say that, you know, it's like there's this sense of comfort, like, I don't have to figure it out, you know, like as though figure it out would help me solve it or something. So
Right. And to realize, wow, I mean, can't you just picture that that's just the next tactic? So you're completely distracted, right? Blah, blah, off planning trips or whatever. The mind's doing what it's doing. I mean, and we can see where those terms like monkey mind come from. Right? You're really it really is like that, just swinging from this branch to this branch to this branch. And then you start to realize that that's happening. You start to look at it. And can't we just picture that it's like that image we were using earlier on the show of, you know, with Rochelle, that it's just throwing hooks out. Oh, gosh, she's not going to go for the distraction anymore. So let's throw out the figure it out hook. Well, now, why am I doing that? I wonder why I'm... Right. So we had a brief pass through center and now we're off on figuring it out. But then you catch on to that. Oh, wait, I don't need to figure it out. And I would project that's where the relief comes from, is that now you've come back to center again, where it's all OK. It's just what's going on. I don't need to do anything about any of it.
Yeah. And I hear what you're saying. And as we're talking and at the same time, you know, you know, ego's, you do have to figure it out because you got to get rid of it because it's not good. And so that's the way. So so it's amazing to me how things can happen at the same time. Like we're having this conversation and at the same time I'm hearing all this stuff in my head from ego, you know.
You know what, Carol? You just hit on one of my very favorite things about recording and listening. Because I have this experience where... So exactly like you're describing, like you and I are having this conversation. Meanwhile, you're aware of the parallel track of what conditioning's doing as we're having this conversation, right? So I don't know about you, but when I'm making recordings, I'm recording along, and I'm aware of that parallel process that's happening, conversation or whatever's going on. When I listen back to the recording, I get to have the unified experience of only hearing what the human being is saying. Having that parallel condition track of what was going on at the same time. And it's a lovely experience of getting to just hear the human without that second track going.
Well, interesting. Yeah, so I feel like I'm kind of lost in it because, you know, I want to start explaining what's because I haven't been talking to the mentor enough and I don't have so that's a relationship that, is challenging for me.
the relationship.
Oh, with a mentor, you know, to hear the voice of the mentor. It just there's a bump in the road there. Right now.
Well, a couple of things. One is, so what I hear you describing is there's an absolute all-out campaign to make sure there's something wrong. Because we're basically having a conversation with you tonight, and it's the theme of the show. I mean, it's the theme of practice, let's face it. But, I mean, there's nothing wrong. There's truly nothing wrong. So, I mean, that's what Rochelle was getting at, right? I mean, of course there's something wrong. I mean, there's this really terrible diagnosis. But the way she's practicing with it is very much from a place of nothing wrong. And then we have the same conversation with Greta, right? So there's this thing going on. Why does this happen? This condition, same exact pattern as with this other friend. And conditioning is making a case for there's something wrong. And what we get to is there's nothing wrong. And then same thing, right? We're talking to you and you're going through this period of noticing a lot of distraction. And what we're getting to is that's all right. That's just what's going on. There's nothing wrong. And meanwhile, there's this campaign to make it wrong. It has to be wrong.
Yeah, and you know, when the mentor does talk to me, it's things like, I mean, sometimes she gets into like explaining a little bit, you know, which isn't right on, but when she just says things like, oh, there's nothing wrong, it's all going to be okay, it's like, that's what I need to hear.
Yeah,
and
there
that,
you go.
And you know, then we're back to center, and, you know, it's like, oh, all these distractions, but this is so that's good.
And the other piece that I wanted to underline is that you said, you know, that relationship is challenging right now, which even, I mean, really, who's deciding that it's challenging and where is all that coming from? I mean, that's a whole other thing we could look at.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we take it from that place of, all right, so let's say I have someone I really, really care about, a close friend, you know, that I love, and she's talking, you know, she's saying, gosh, I'm having kind of a little blip in my mentoring with myself, and kind of I'm not feeling as close as I used to be with that. Would we have any judgment about that?
Mm-mm.
No.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, from the mentoring presence, I project it's just a sense of, okay, well, let's practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? We're not trying to meet any standard here.
Yeah, this is just part of life and there's nothing wrong.
Exactly. Truly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we don't even know if it's actually even happening, right? Or if I'm just going along, you know, having a relationship with a mentor, and then the voices say, well, I mean, you're not really doing so well with your relationship with the mentor. And then we go to, oh, yeah, I don't know. What's going on in my relationship with a mentor? And then soon enough, we're not really recording much anymore, and we're not talking to the mentor. And, I mean, you know. But instead, if it's just a clue, if we hear that and go, oh, okay, well, let's practice some more, right? And then, of course, that's what the mentor is going to say is, well, let's just practice. Let's try it out. Let's talk. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your day.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is good. I'm really glad that I called in and that I got back in the queue and that we've had this conversation.
Exactly, Carol. Because, you know, it's that T-shirt that we used to have. It does not matter how slowly we go as long as we do not stop.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We just keep showing up. We just keep showing up.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Go happy.
Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Carol. I heard definitely nothing wrong, Jen. That's great.
Are you getting that?
I'm getting that. And it's fun because you can never hear that too many times.
Yeah. Because there's a constant campaign for there is something wrong. Yeah.
Right. And if there's something wrong, that there's a constant campaign, then I will give up. But if there's nothing wrong, then I'll just keep practicing along.
What if there's nothing wrong, what would give up even mean? It would have no meaning.
Yes. Right.
It would never occur to us.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we have another caller here.
All right. Very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. Hi, Michael. It's Barbara here in Australia.
Hey, hi, Barbara.
Hi. Hi. Oh, it's been a really great show for me. So thank you,
good,
everyone that's called in.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. I've been sort of sitting, listening, but also aware of a lot of rehearsing going on about what I was going to say. So I've been trying to really practice with dropping that,
uh-huh,
not rehearsing.
Yep.
So I'm just going to take a moment to breathe.
Good. Perfect. and that's still the process we've been looking at all night, isn't it, Barbara? It's what we started Good News Updates with. So there you are. You're listening to the show. And then conditioning wants to go into the future. Well, okay, so
yeah,
let's see. If I get unmuted, then I'll talk about, oh, wait a minute, I don't want to do that. I just want to be here. And I project a piece of that practice is trusting that if and when I do get unmuted, then I'll be adequate to talking about whatever arises in the moment. So then you're unmuted, and then you have the presence of mind to say, let me just take 1 minute and breathe.
Yeah, it was great. That was one of the things that really was great for me to hear, and also the I can't stand it place was really I've had some experience with that in the last little while, and at the moment for me that's arising quite a bit, most commonly probably with physical sensation, physical pain.
Uh-huh.
So it was just great to hear about. So what happened the other day, you know, that kind of came up, had one of those days where I just felt like I couldn't stand it. And I started just, in my meditation, instead of sort of trying to count breath, I was trying to breathe in love into my body and into the part that was really hurting, and breathing out love into the whole rest of my body. And, something changed, It was not, just my relationship to sensations obviously changed. And, it does also feel like there's a softening that happens, and it changed a lot around, because when I'm like that, in a lot of pain like that, at the moment I'm staying with my mother, and I can get really irritated and really like I've got no patience or not much good attention for what's around, other people around me. And that changed too. Like I noticed that change as well.
Wow. Go ahead.
It's just that fine line. It's what you were talking about before, Jen, of like not doing that to trust, because I think, if I do this, then this is going to happen.
Exactly.
And because it doesn't always create a big shift, but it's always better than being in that place that I can't stand it.
Exactly. Really, oh gosh, it's so good, Barbara, because, first of all, who could blame her that she wants it to shift, right? I mean, that's one of the places I always go to, especially with really hard physical things, is, oh gosh, boy, I get it. I just get it. It's hard. It really is hard. So let's just start there. Like, who could blame her that she's hoping something would shift it? And it's that place, that image we often use when we're looking, especially at physical things, of, so I'm with, for some reason I always think of it with a small child, because it's just so easy to project just complete innocence and goodness on a very small child. But so there they are in a lot of pain. And there's nothing I can do about it, but I can be with them, right? And I can metaphorically or literally, breathe that love and hold them and be with them, and you know, that compassion, that unconditional love. And I project that's what shifts for us. And as you say, sometimes it really even does shift the physical experience of it, because, you know, if a body and mind are one, then certainly, you know, what's happening in the mind is impacting my experience of what's happening in the body. But it doesn't necessarily, you know, take all the pain away, but it does shift our experience with it. And your description of that, it shifts how you are with other people, you know, how you are with your mother, is such a good indication. I look at that too, where, wow, that's interesting. My tolerance level is much higher, and which tells me how much strain and stress I was under before. Mm.
Mm. Because what I've seen for years happen is that when I'm most unwell or most in pain or whatever, conditioning kind of just goes crazy. Like, I get the pull to get identified with that old negative conversation.
It's huge.
It's like my defenses are down. It just, there's a takeover, yep. And if I don't even see it,
yep,
happen. So I don't know. There was just something about doing that the other day, just the simplicity of it. It was just simple. It wasn't any kind of, I didn't have to figure anything out. I didn't have to.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing. It was just, that phrase has been coming up a lot for me, just come back to love.
Yes. And what a good point that when we're down like that, when we're vulnerable, the voices just take absolute advantage of it. And we are vulnerable to all the old stuff, you know, the conversations, the karma, the all of it. And so really the miracle that it is to have it available to us to do a practice like you're talking about, to be able to just breathe in that love. I mean, it's, and I project that's a piece of it, is that's very, I think we intuitively sense how huge that is, how transformative it is for that, something like that to even occur to us in that situation.
Yeah. I've got so much gratitude for practice. It's really,
mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I've had my bad days. I think I was in one last time I called, but you know, the situation I'm still in kind of at the moment of transition and instability, and without practice, you know, it just would have been, I mean, I can't kind of imagine, really.
Yeah,
I don't want to imagine what it would have been. But to be in this place that I'm in and be not trying to figure it out and not trying to talk it through with everybody, like, what should I do? Should I do this? Should I do that? I'm just not doing that, and it feels miraculous. And
wow.
Just trusting. Yeah, so that's what was great to hear you sort of say that, about trusting that the solution will come, you know.
Yep.
When it's time, the solution will be there. I don't have to spend a minute trying to anticipate that.
And that's so big, what you just said, that it sounds like, if I'm tracking what you're saying, that you're, all the sort of usual karmic grooves, you know, I would talk it through with everyone and, you know, look at my different options and do all, and just watching that not happen and kind of marveling at, wow, that's different.
Mm. I don't want to do it. It isn't even like I'm
exactly
stopping myself not like from doing it. It's really clear to me that that's a place of suffering.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. So instead of I shouldn't do that, you just get to a place of I don't want to. That's not going to help me at all.
Yes. Yeah. Or if I sort of veer in that direction even the slightest bit, I just can see what happens to me physically.
Exactly.
And yeah. Like, no, like wrong way, go back. So
exactly.
Yeah, so
it's so good.
To thunder and practice.
Amen. Yep. And thanks to you, Barbara, for, again, kind of as we were talking about with everyone, you know, thank you for
calling in and sharing your you know, journey with all of it. It's really, really very helpful to all of us.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Thank you, Barbara.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara. Jen, I often have this enormous sense of gratitude come over me during the show and at the end of the show, mm-hmm. and I'm experiencing that now, as you said, for everyone sharing their practice, and I thank you for offering your practice as well.
Such a pleasure, and, you know, ditto to you, Michael. Yep. Amen.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
Amen, brother.
All right. Thank you,
Jen. All right. Thanks, Michael. Good night.
Good night.
Go happy.
Go happy.